Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Donna Feazell, and I'm your host of The Edge on IC Radio, your source for news and entertainment. You can find us on television, channel 182 on Charter Communications, and Abundance Television, found on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire. Again, thank you so much for watching. Thanks to our very special sponsors. They're absolutely terrific. Applebee's came back. We're proud of that as well. And all of our other great sponsors, MyPillow.com. Check that out. Use promo code Donna. You get some extra special deals. I have Ann Eubank with me right now. She's with the Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. And I'll tell you what, it's always a trauma to get you on the air. Something always happens mechanically. What's that all about?
They're watching us.
Well, you know,
I spent the whole weekend with those people who were being destroyed by the government for their standing up and speaking out. So maybe they think I'm one of them and it's my turn. Who knows?
I think it's both of us. We both stay in the doghouse quite a bit.
I don't know what happened.
But we got it back on now. Now, you had a very interesting weekend. So tell me about it.
I was in Huntsville on Saturday for a training, FACL training, where it's not communication, it's confrontation with our leaders. And, you know, I'm kind of in the middle on that. But Sunday, I spent the entire, from 8:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night, with the concerned doctors, about six or seven of them, talking about how bad that the COVID vaccine has been, not only in the United States, but in the world, of killing and damaging and destroying people's lives, injuring. And why in the world is our government, federal and state, still trying to make us take this thing that they know is dangerous? I just don't understand. Tens of thousands of people have died. Hundreds of thousands of people have been injured, vaccine injured, and thousands of babies have either been born stillborn, miscarriages, birth defects. And it was shocking to me. I knew how bad it was, I thought, but it turned out to be a whole lot worse than what we think. They had the undertaker there that discovered those elastic clots that were clogging up the arteries in these athletes. And he actually brought some of them with him, talking about how they tried to shut him up and kept telling him, oh no, that's after they die, that's what happens. He said, I've been a mortician for 22 years. I've never seen this before. He was there. One of the ladies, and God love her, Kathy O'Brien, and I don't know if you've ever had her on your show or not, talked about what the CIA did to her with the MK Ultra mind control that they are now using on our children in schools with all this LGBTQ stuff, the pedophilia, and how she, after 22 years, was able to break away from it. I cried the entire time she spoke, because, you know, we see what's going on in the schools and we can't stop it. James O'Keefe was there. And, you know, I've known James since 2010. My friend Stephen Gordon used to work for him. Stephen unfortunately died after having a serious car accident years later. But he was there and he was showing us some of his undercover films. And he was at a school board meeting where this Karen, you know, we call them Karens now, walked up to him and, walked up to him and said, you and is quite funny. They've come out with a t-shirt, so I ordered a t-shirt. It's on its way. So I'm going to, because I'm one of those people who look Trumpish. Not that I am for Trump, but I'm definitely Trumpish.
I've got to ask you a question. So Phil and I went to San Antonio. We were at the Atlanta airport, and very few people were walking around with masks on. And I would just look and I'd go, liberal, you know. I mean, we were just like dissecting people, the liberals from the conservative. And then some we didn't know what, couldn't figure out what they were. They were just
They were independents. You know, the independents are as big as, you know, conservative liberals, and the independents in the middle are like, it's 30-30-30.
So they could be independent. It's that big of a thing. But it's just the, I don't know, the people who are conservative are the friendliest ones. It's like, you know, they're happy with life. They're not happy with the situation where the government's going right now, but they want to live a good life. Everybody just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. I'll let you do your thing. You know, that kind of thing. But a liberal is so unhappy. They're like the same. I just want to hug them. I just want to say, I love you. You are loved.
You have to be miserable to want to control everything and everybody in the world. I'm sorry.
That is just narcissist.
Yes. And I think that's a lot of it. They're just miserable with the way they are and the way their life is. So they want everybody else to be miserable. So, I don't understand. There's actually a neurologist and a brain guy who says that you can tell the difference between a liberal and a conservative through their brain scan after the age of 40. Before the age of 40, you know, the brain's not really developed. But after the age of 40, you can tell just by the way their brain scan looks, who's conservative and who's liberal.
I've got to ask you a question. Okay, so you say after 40, you should have a brain, right? I mean, you should, it should be developed. Well, then what about the president of the United States? I mean, hitting 80. Is his brain not developed yet or what?
No, his is deteriorated to the point that it's very little left. He has no idea where he is or even what he's saying. For him to say that his son was killed in Iraq is absolutely crazy. Everybody in the country knows that's a lie. His son may have been in Iraq, but he came home and died from brain cancer 10 years later. Mm-hmm. Why is he saying that?
But why would you say these lies? I mean, why would you say these lies knowing that there are sound bites out there of you saying things? And I mean, it's not like we're in 1930 anymore. I mean, there's a cell phone everywhere. You're being taped. I mean, I was probably taped several times, didn't know it, just by accident being in the wrong place at the wrong time, because everybody has a camera phone.
Right.
Now,
James O'Keefe says he has 100 people walking around with button cameras, going into these meetings and filming these people with their craziness, and he's going to put them on YouTube and on TV. So you not only do you worry about camera phones, now you got to worry about button cameras. But if you're like me and you, what does it matter?
Who cares? Everybody knows anyway.
That's so bad. Hey. It's whatever I think is what I say. It's not, you know, I'm conservative. If you don't like it, too bad. I'm not worried about it.
Well, I mean, there's something about truthfulness, but you know something, Ann? I think more people are looking for the truth now than we realize. I really do. I know there are a lot of people out there. You're never going to change them. And I don't want to change anybody. You need to change your own self. I can't change anybody. But I think there's a growing number of people who finally get it. And I think they're finally, you know what? My gas is so much more expensive now driving around in my car than it used to be. I'm paying more for groceries.
I have a car story. Let me see if I can remember for her name, Jennifer Granholm, who was the energy secretary, took her EV, her electric vehicle, and was going to go across multi-state trips. And she took a reporter with her in her electric vehicle. But the rest of her entourage was in the gasoline-powered vehicles following behind her. Well, she left somewhere in South Carolina, and they had to stop in Augusta, Georgia to recharge. I mean, what is that? 300-400 miles, maybe 200 from South Carolina to Augusta, Georgia? That's not very far. Mm-hmm. So one of the gasoline-powered vehicles blocked to reserve her charging station in his gasoline-powered vehicle because he knew she had to recharge at this place, and one of them wasn't working and somebody else was in one of them. So in order for her to have a charging station when she got there, he parked his gasoline car in that spot. And a family who needed to recharge their car couldn't get into it and called the police.
Oh.
Well, it's not illegal for a gasoline car to park in a EV spot. It's not nice, but it's not illegal. So when she got there, there was a big brouhaha about her thinking she was special enough that she had to have a reserved EV spot so that she could continue on her trip. This made national news. That is absolutely hysterical. Therein lies the problem with EV vehicles, and they want no gasoline vehicles by 2030. I'm sorry, that's 7 years away. What do you think's going to happen when you don't have enough charging stations for every car on the road? There's going to be massacre for people to stay. It'll be like the old gas lines. It'll be like the old gas.
Remember the old gas lines from the 70s? Okay, so I thought it was like the end of the world. Okay, so I'm thinking Jesus must be going to come back before I can, you know, I can graduate from high school, have my own car and all this. So I finally get a car, finally get my driver's license, and then what have I got to face? Gas lines under Carter. Yeah. I mean, it was like, there's like no winning situation for me. I feel mm-hmm. so sorry for the kids of today's world. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, I was just hysterical. I mean, you think about that, a government cabinet member having to park a car so she can charge. And she's got a reporter in the car with her. That's what was so funny. I mean, that's
yeah, but it's probably from CNN or something, so that probably didn't.
I don't think it even said her name. So
I've got a question I've been meaning to ask somebody, and you probably would know the answer to this. Okay. So, you know, like when you buy a car, it tells you what the mileage that you get in city plus, you know, outside of the city. So right. Are electric cars the same way? I mean, do you get more miles per,
It's according to whether you run the air conditioner or the heater. If you turn on your radio, if you have, you know, if you're trying to charge your phone, everything you do in that car lowers the amount of mileage.
Okay. I'm in the board meeting. Okay. You and yeah. I are in the board meeting. Okay. And so we're talking about why, you know, these electric cars are so much better than what we got out there with fuel right now. And let's just say I'm hot natured. The first place you're going to get me is when you say I can't run my air conditioner because it's going to start. Okay, so we get in a traffic jam. Okay, let's pretend I'm on 280. Okay, I'm in a traffic jam. What am I going to have to do? Turn everything off and sweat to death? I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah. That's basically if you are, especially if you're like halfway or below, you're going to do everything you have to do to conserve that electricity because you know the standard car takes anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. Unless you're in one of the quick charges, which there's not that many, to recharge. Do you know how much it costs to recharge one of those things?
How much?
About $1,000 a month if you have one in your house. Yeah, it is not. I don't understand. And our grid, our electric grid, is on its last legs. What are they thinking?
I think it's by design.
I don't understand.
I do. Yeah. It's by design. It's a good way to cripple us all. It's a good way for people not to be able to get to work, to earn a living. It's a good way to lose everything you've got. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all part of the plan.
Yes. I think they call them 15-minute cities.
Yeah, 15-minute cities.
And you know, I keep going back to Hunger Games. We'll all be in these little pods, and we'll have a number, and you can't go outside your little pod to interact with anybody else within 15 minutes. And if you don't believe me, go read a UN Agenda 2050. That's where we're headed, or even 2030. Some of it's in 2030. But yeah, it's going to be Hunger Games. That's what they're after.
And already, we already got a taste of that. You remember when 2020 and, you know, the supply chain was just, I mean, you couldn't get things. You couldn't get toilet paper. Everybody was going nuts and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you couldn't find certain foods. And we just got a taste of it. People were crazy in the grocery stores.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this. If you don't know how to grow your own food, you don't need to worry about what it's going to cost. You need to worry about where you're going to get it, because there's not going to be any with Bill Gates buying up all the farm property, the World Economic Forum buying up, shutting down, what is it, Sweden and the farmers in Sweden, having war in Ukraine. You think we're there to keep him from Russia from taking over Ukraine? That's not the real reason. We're there because they're the breadbasket of the world, and they want to be able to control that. They have all, it's already, because the war has spread all over the country, it's already delayed shipments to the rest of the world. They're not after Russia in Ukraine for the NATO. They're after that breadbasket, because that's the way they control us. Healthcare and food. That's their big
thing. They'll get it. That'll do it. Let me ask you a question about the hostages. So, sounds like a pretty good business to be in, right, Lily, to get some hostages. Okay, so you get hostages, you free five of them, but I'm going to get like $6 billion.
Yeah.
What the heck?
And he did that all on his own. So I guess my question is, how much is he and Hunger getting kicked back to them? He didn't take that. Yeah. Nobody else had any input in that decision. He did it. I was reading about the ridiculous omnibus that they're trying to pull on the budget process, and he wants $44 billion more for Ukraine. Now, I'm sorry. You're paying $44 billion to help somebody close their border? But ours is wide open.
Okay. You shouldn't have opened that door, because I'm walking in. So we can't have borders. Now, in the meantime, Nancy Pelosi and all these elite, they have borders around their homes, but we can't have borders. We're not allowed to. Okay, so there are all kinds of diseases that are coming in. Murderers, rapists, people are going to kill your kids. They're using your kids for sex slaves, your grandmother, whatever. So we believe in borders for one country, but not for our own country. What gives?
46 million new Democrat votes, because in the past 3 years, they estimate that the illegal population, and that includes DACA, because DACA, again, has been ruled unconstitutional. They just can't figure out what to do with them. But the DACA program by Obama was unconstitutional. Yeah. So now we're up to 46 million illegals in our country. And they're not all Mexicans. They are coming from everywhere. All over the world. Mm-hmm. So you can't just say it's Mexicans. But they've been given free health care. Our veterans are homeless and can't get decent health care. We don't care about that, but we care about these illegals getting free health care. they're being housed in hotels that they're destroying in New York. And New York citizens have finally had enough, but the governor and the mayor of New York can't figure out what the heck to do with them. So they're setting up tent cities. Now, I don't know about you, but do you want to be in a tent in New York City, December, January, February? Because they have nowhere else to put them. Then they it's talk cold. About housing.
In case people in New York don't understand, it gets cold. I mean, it's a little colder there than it is here in the South. I've been there.
Yeah. And then they talked about putting them in the schools, housing them in the schools. And you're thinking, what, you know, common sense has left the building. But there's an awful lot of money being put out to take care of people that are not our citizens while our citizens suffer. And the people, okay. I read an article the other day, 80% of the people in this country don't want Joe Biden and Donald Trump to run against each other again. 80%.
Okay, I've got a question about the schools, because you know how you and I are about the kids. Okay, and, yes. And they've been dealt bad cards. 2020 happened. We have kids with emotional issues because of, you know, being isolated and all this kind of stuff. They had to wear a mask. They couldn't, their brain couldn't function because the oxygen wasn't getting to the brain. Okay, so our kids are required to wear a mask. Your kid cannot go to school unless they wear a mask during this time, okay? They got to get the shot. They got to get all this. However, I'm illegal. I could have any kind of disease whatsoever, and I'm going to be able to stay in your school where your kids go.
Right.
What about that makes sense?
Okay. I was in the same place that you were of what in the world, why is that common sense? But this lady who spoke yesterday, Kathy O'Brien, explained it to me. The masking, the fear, the control. When you mask somebody, you take away their identity. They can't breathe, which opens up their head to, and the fear of disease or the fear of DEI, CRT, SEL, all of that stuff opens their brains up to the MK Ultra mind control program. And I just looked at her and I went, okay. But then I looked it up. And she's right. It's the first step of indoctrination. You have to break it down to indoctrinate it. And that's part of breaking it down.
Okay, think about you. Okay, think about me. Okay, so let's just say I want to drive. I've got to go, let's say I've got to go to Texas and I've got to drive it because I can't get the plane. Somebody's sick. I've got to hurry up and go from Alabama to Texas. I don't want to stop. I want to go straight through. I'm going to be exhausted. I'm not going to be able to think. I'm going to see things in the, really, there are truck drivers who tell you about this. They get so tired, they can actually see things that are not there.
Right.
Though I forgot what they call it. There's a term for it, but you can be that tired. So that's what they're doing to our kids. They're tiring them out so much with just stuff. Mm-hmm. And then that way you can control them. That's it.
Fear. Fear is the big thing, isolating them from their parents and their peers because of white privilege. And we've had schools that do that. They isolate the kids. Well, you have to go sit over there because you're white and you have white privilege. Every time I go to one of these group things where they have all these speakers that have been persecuted by the government, and they tell me what is happening, it's like light bulbs go off in my head. Because when you start putting the dots together, and that's what I do, you know, we've talked about this before, you do all this research and you listen and you hear these people tell you these things, and then you start connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. And man, I connected dots yesterday all day long. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The evil that our government is perpetrating on the citizens is never ending. It's just never ending.
And let's go into a commercial break. And when we come back, let's talk about elections.
Okay.
I think we just need to get rid of everybody and start all over again. I really do.
Everyone.
So we're going to go into a break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Everybody hang in there.
The Hatter Cafe and Country Inn is nestled in the northeast corner of Alabama the Beautiful in the delightful town of Mentone. We're located on top of scenic Lookout Mountain near Little River and DeSoto State Park and located only 5 minutes from shopping and restaurants. There is also a nearby community walking path and golf course. We welcome everyone through the doors and we are committed to outstanding service for all guests. At the Hatter Cafe and Country Inn, we invite people from all walks of life to come and get away from it all, enjoy the open spaces, treetop views, fresh, clean air, and experience Southern hospitality at its finest. We look forward to hosting you. To reserve a special event, or if you would love a special getaway at the Country Inn, you can call us at 256-634-2018.
Are you ready?
We all wonder what tomorrow will bring, but the future lays itself at the feet of the prepared and surrenders to the will of the persistent. It's not easy, but today shapes you so you can shape tomorrow. With Northeast Alabama Community College, when the future asks if you're ready, you can answer.
Yes.
Begin your future at Northeast Alabama Community College.
The only place I buy my beef is Lone Tree Ranch in Collinsville, Alabama. Their cattle is born and raised on their ranch, grass and grain fed, and you can feel confident when you serve your family and friends because their beef is all natural and no antibiotics or hormones are added. You can buy whole beef or perhaps go in with family or friends and buy half. Their customer service is number one as they take care of the delivery to their local processor and can deliver to your home for a small added fee. They also offer herd replacement heifers. I always call Lone Tree Ranch in Collinsville, Alabama for my beef specialty recipes and cookouts, and you can too. Food shortages are increasing, so buy local by calling 256-523-6462. That's 256-523-6462.
Wow, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill and combined it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
Donna's Designs offers a line of handmade memorial, wedding, and keepsake jewelry that launched back in 1970. I'm a self-trained jewelry designer, and I will work closely with you to create unique designs you can love and treasure for years to come. Whether that be flowers that were used in a funeral arrangement or stones you found on the beach at a memorable trip, call me at 256-659-4319, and let's think of the possibilities.
Okay, we're back. My name is Donna, and I am your host of The Edge on IC Radio, your source for news and entertainment. You can also find us on television, channel 182 on Charter Communications, and Abundance Television, found on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire. We are syndicated there. And a new podcast, getting an update right there. We'll be telling you about that a little bit later in the week, and I'm very excited about that, Ann. Ann Eubank is with me right now. She's with the Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. We have an election coming up. And I know we've said in the past, this is the most important election. This is the absolute most important election. We have people in office right now who are only in it for fame. I don't know what they're in it for. Money, you know, I've got control over people, whatever. And I'm talking not just Democrats, and I'm talking Republicans too. But we get rid of these people with our vote, and we can get people in who actually have a brain in their head.
Well, I think even more than that, we have got to elect somebody who can force Congress to rein in the alphabet soup, the HHS, the CIA, the FBI, all those people, EPA, all of the ones, the Department of Education. They're the problem with what's going on at the local level. And that affects us a whole lot, and, you know, more than what the firm, you know, we have a new term for Congress, the firm, does, because they're a uniparty with the exception of the Freedom Caucus, Mitch McConnell, McCarthy, Schumer, and Jeffers, all the same. They're making these deals to pass this omnibus that McCarthy said and promised the Freedom Caucus that he wouldn't do. They are increasing spending by trillions of dollars, which he promised the Freedom Caucus he wouldn't do, that he would cut these programs and cut these departments so that they can't do the damage that they're doing. And now he's going back on his promises, and to the point where there's a movement out there to bring him up, to remove him as speaker. So not only do we need to get rid of especially McConnell, I don't think McCarthy is weak, but McConnell is weak. And some of those other, I heard that Romney wasn't running again. Thank you, Lord, because he knows he's going to get defeated. I know that the liberals are trying to use the 14th Amendment Section 3 to say that Trump can't be put on the ballot. Well, that's not what that says. It does not state president or vice president. It states congressman. They are not congressmen. They're the president and the vice president. They are not part of Section 3, Article 14. Somebody needs to go read that again before they keep spouting it. You know, I guess if you say it enough, everybody will believe it.
Yeah, people, simple true. People who don't do research will believe it.
Exactly.
And that's what they're making.
Yeah. But even more important than national, because, you know, it's an uphill battle with the national. I see my dog has entered the program.
That's okay. My cat is sitting right here.
Okay.
maybe they won't get in a fight with each other online.
They won't. We need to worry about what's going on here. We need to clean out the Alabama legislature. So District 10 up there somewhere where you are in Madison is going to have a special election. And I heard that Ledbetter had his special person he wants, which I hope doesn't get elected up there. But so there's a couple of conservatives they're looking at to run against that person. Mm-hmm. District 16, which is Tuscaloosa, part of Hale County, down next to Jasper, has a special election coming up. And last week I went to an event where five of the six candidates were there, and I asked them questions. And there are two of them that are fairly good, but one of them actually worked on Kay Ivey's campaign. So I don't think we need to put anybody that worked on Kay Ivey's campaign in Montgomery. So the other guy who came in second on the first go around, I think is going to be the one that hopefully will win this time. And then there's a third one coming up in South Alabama. But even more so, if there's anybody out there that wants to run for school board, county commissioner, any kind of the local commissions, city committee, you know, city councils, anything that you can have a voice in locally, you really need to start thinking about. If you can't find somebody that's conservative, you run for it yourself, because that's what they've done. They've come in, they've taken over our cities and our counties and our library boards and our, you know, school boards. And until we take that back, we're going to be hit hard on the local level before we can get any relief on the federal level.
I mean, we got to start local. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I won't vote local. It's no big. It is important.
It's extremely
important. And you really, just because somebody kisses you and just because somebody kisses your baby and stuff like that does not mean that's the one. Okay, because they'll kiss you and love on you and speak to you during the, it's just like dating. But then once they get you, once they get in office, they're not that friendly anymore. They're untouchable.
Right. And, you know, if your city council or your county commission doesn't allow you to speak or, God forbid, video what they're doing, then you need to replace them.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag. If you can't speak or if they stop you from speaking, because every commission, every public meeting of any kind of elected board should have public speaking minutes where they allow the public to tell you what they want, because people, they work for us. Remember, we the people control the government, supposedly. But we've gotten so complacent and, I can't be seen as non-cooperative, that we're paying the price now. So we got to get out of that.
Do you remember during the election, this past election, there was such a low voter turnout in the state of Alabama? Yep. I could not believe it.
Yep. Yeah, I think they said, 14-15% of people elect who runs your state and local governments. We can't have that. We can't have that. And mail-in voting is not the answer. Absentee voting is not the answer. More days than 3 months voting is not the answer. You have one day voting, you go vote. Make it a national holiday or make it a state holiday. The voting day should be open for everybody to go vote. And there's no reason why you can't. And registering people is not the answer. You know, Wes Allen just came out with the new system that he promised us if we elected him Secretary of State, that he would get us out of ERIC and have our own Alabama system. And he just announced it today. And I can talk about it in a minute if you want to. I'm real excited about what he's done.
Let's talk about it.
Did you see his? Okay. It's called AVID. And the first thing he did was he connected with the post office. Duh. That when somebody moves and they notify the post office that they've moved, then the state of Alabama will get notified. Hello. Common sense. That's what we told him. We gave him 8 things and he used 4 of them. I mean, what's the easiest way to find out if somebody don't live there anymore? The post office knows. They know everything. The second thing he did was when somebody dies and Social Security is notified that someone has died and has a death certificate, they notify the state of Alabama. Hello. Common sense.
That's one that's always got me. When people who have passed on to the great beyond can vote. I mean, they're gone.
But absolutely.
That Social Security check, it gets stopped. I mean, the second you start turning gold,
that Social Security
check is gone. So, I mean, I don't understand. Well, I understand.
We understand. So, the third thing was, the driver's license department, ALEA, Alabama's law enforcement agency, when somebody gets a new driver's license, they now know that address either is the same or different. You know, they notify the state. Another thing, easy. We control that process. And the fourth thing is that he's making a compact with some of the other states to get their voter rolls and check the voter rolls electronically for names and, you know, for people that are still on the Alabama voter rolls, which is the more difficult. But with the other three, we should have a good idea of who's in and out of Alabama, who died, who changed their address, and who got a new driver's license. So they put it into use, testing it. 30,000 names came off the voter rolls. 30,000 names the first time they tested it. That's common sense. And I'm so excited that he did what we asked him to do.
That's all we ask. Yeah. Let's just make this thing like it should be. So I've got a question. Okay, so we own a small business. I mean, it's not gigantic. But what I don't get is we own a small business. We've got all this technical stuff, and it runs. I mean, it's not perfect 100%. We've only been down like once or maybe twice just in the past few years with our little simple system. We also have an accounting system for the business, okay? Didn't cost a whole lot of money either. I mean, it's real simple. Phil just been put stuff in. He goes and shoots out the bills. All you got to do is lick the envelope and you're done. I mean, it's real simple. So why is it so complicated to have things running on a timely basis with the government? You would think they would have and security systems too. I mean, you know, Phil put together our security system. When we were on vacation, every single time a fly blew by the camera, I would get an alert on my cell phone. I mean, but the White House, we don't have good security cameras. Why?
That was a lie, because they do. I've been in the White House. You can't walk 2 feet without being on somebody's screen. Trust me when I tell you that. Because government is the most inefficient way to do anything, because they don't produce anything. They don't sell anything. It's not important that they're efficient and effective. They can only take. They take from one person to give to another. They buy from one person to give to another. They don't do anything. So efficiency is not the priority. Oh, you may have one or two people in government that real efficiency is their goal, but 99%, no. It's, well, you know, what's it to me? It doesn't cost me anything. That's the difference. There's no buy-in.
So would you consider this thought? Would you consider the U.S. government is nothing but a big narcissist agency?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I was taking economics when I was in college, I had a conservative economics teacher, which, you know, that's a rare breed.
That's rare.
in college. and he said the government doesn't produce or make anything. It must first take from somebody to give to somebody else. And he said that is the main idea you need to understand about government. That it's always taken from somebody to give to somebody else.
So that explains why I can be like as poor as dirt, and I could maybe possibly win the election, but I'll leave a millionaire.
Yep.
That's disturbing to me.
Well,
but when they come to their deathbed, all you're going to see, especially if it's liberal, all you're going to see is they served the country for 50 years. Yeah. To me, serving is when I barely scrape by, and I'm helping like some of these people who help in food kitchens and stuff like that. I'm helping people. I'm not getting rich off of it. That's called serving to me. Or some pastors, and there's some pastors I don't agree with this, but some pastors, I mean, they get by, and they're always able to pay the bills and what have you, but they're not doing this as a way to like be a billionaire.
Yeah. There's a lot of religious billionaires. I've noticed that. Yep. But, you know,
okay,
that's
let me ask
between
you
them question. And God.
This pertains to Trump. Okay. So this is a thought that's going around. Okay. It's not just me and you thinking this. Okay. So you can't destroy Trump. I mean, you've thrown all kinds of stuff at him. He just still keeps coming back. You can't. Hi. Now he's making a whole bunch of money off of his mugshot. So, I mean, it's like what they try to do to destroy him. He turns it around. This is one guy that absolutely makes lemonade out of lemons. I mean, this guy really knows how to do it. So what's next? If you can't get him that way, could assassination be far behind?
Well, you have to remember, obviously, this man is anointed by God, or else he would have already gone down.
He'd been gone.
Because I'm telling you, they have thrown everything but the kitchen sink at the guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that he's already had assassination attempts that you're not ever going to hear about it.
Several times a day.
Uh-huh. Well, so we have to look at it like it's his destiny to be put back in office, or whatever God's plan is, that perhaps he's there to wake us up. I don't know what's going to happen to Mr. Trump, to President Trump, but I know that he's done a great service for this country by waking us up and exposing us to the swamp and to the evil that is trying to control us. And I think without Trump, we would never. There's always people like me who know. It's like I tell people, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't sleep at night. But for there to be enough people in the country to wake up to what's going on in order to stop it. That may be God's plan. It may be that Trump doesn't go back into office, but God's plan has been fulfilled when the rest of us stand up and say enough is enough and clean it out. I don't know. Who knows what God, Donald Trump himself may not even know what the plan is and probably doesn't. But I will tell you that somebody tried to assassinate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in Los Angeles this past week. Because Biden won't give him Secret Service protection. His private protection stopped a guy whose excuse was, well, somebody told me to come here and I could work as his security detail. Loaded with guns all over him, unemployed. His brother dropped him off. And they stopped him before he got close enough to do anything. Now, his father was killed in Los Angeles on the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's scary as heck. And why Joe Biden won't give this man a Secret Service security detail is beyond me, because he has the percentage to be eligible for one. And he refuses to do it.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another question. This pertains to Joe Biden. If you'll just simply go back and do research, folks, you will see this guy has never been the brightest bulb. I mean, never. So why was this guy? Okay, it's all planned, okay? So we all know this. So it's all planned by somebody else. Okay. Why would this guy be chosen and why do people, like Nancy Pelosi was interviewed and she was talking about how, you know, about Kamala and all this kind of stuff. And how she could be I don't know.
The word salad queen who says 50 words and you're going, what did she say?
And she talks to you like we're in romper room. I hate that. I mean, it's like
you know,
the whole country.
Okay. The thing of it is, and
it's a big place. I mean, that's how she talks to everybody.
I know. I learned something else this weekend. I just learned so much. I was so excited. Obama and Biden and Soros and China and Klaus Schwab and all of the World Economic Forum are pulling the strings. And so they had to have a puppet who money is the most important thing. Obama's the same. You know, it's coming out now that he's gay. It's not like the rest of the world didn't already know it anyway. Gracious. And they're just puppets pulled by the World Economic Forum strings, New World Order strings.
It's the movie Trading Places with Andy Murphy.
Yeah.
We're actually in that movie right now.
Oh, absolutely. And Manchurian Candidate's even worse.
And Idiocy, yeah. Too. We're in that movie,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So, he was just the logical, easiest to control. Kamala, whatever her name is, Kamala. Can you imagine? The woman can't even speak a sentence that we can understand. How hard would she be able to control by these people? I learned that they know stuff about everything, and they've used blackmail and to get everything they want. So that's when you see some of our people doing things, you're like, what were they thinking? They weren't thinking they're being blackmailed. So the stuff that I heard, Mitt Romney's father, George Bush, George W. I mean, I could just go, you're like, Kissinger, Cheney. We can just go down the line and you're just shaking your head. These people have been setting us up since 1960 when they killed Kennedy.
Since before
they
then.
Kennedy knew what was going on, and he was going to make a speech to tell the country about this, and he was going to stop it, and they had to take him out, and they did. And it's been going on since then.
Mm-hmm. It's all been part of the plan. Get enough people on, get enough people on welfare, get enough people on food stamps. They'll never work. Now just keep producing kids. Yeah. Just like
New World Order.
Yeah, that's it.
New World Order.
Did you remember Daddy Bush talked about that?
Oh, yes.
That's why I voted for Ross Perot. I didn't like Clinton. And I didn't like Daddy Bush either. He was talking. They've been very vocal about it. We've just not been listening.
Nope. And it's so undercover before Trump went in. You know, I don't even know how Reagan got elected. If you stop and think about it, it's like they told us the reason Trump got elected in 2016 was because we voted. So there were so many of us that voted for him. We broke the algorithm on the voting machine. So they corrected it and made doggone sure it didn't happen in 2020.
Yeah, but you know what with Trump? I fell in love with him way before you did. And let me tell you why I fell in love with him. Because he was saying exactly what we were thinking. He was calling stupid people stupid. And he was calling smart people smart. And that was just pretty refreshing to me. And I know people were going, I went to the cab Republican thing one time. And this is when we had about 10 people running. Me and one guy were the only ones who stood up for Trump. It was just us two. Now, Phil was Cruz. Most people were Cruz. Some people were, you know, Bush and all this kind of stuff. And I loved Cruz, too. I loved him. I thought he was great. But the timing wasn't right for him.
Right.
It had to be an obnoxious, loud, somebody who didn't care whether his feelings were hurt or not. It was time for him. And it's still time for him.
Yes. And I definitely agree. But personally, you know, I'm not a Trump person. I am a Trumpish person. I'm all about what he's all about, but I've been on the end of his personality, and that's what need. Yeah, but it ain't fun to be on the receiving end.
Yeah, but you can't be meek and just afraid to say anything and go against that big Democrat machine. Yeah. You got to be boisterous. You got to be loud. You got to fix it.
And if he makes it in this time, he's got a job 10 times bigger because of what he says he's going to do.
But you know what? Yeah. He's going to enjoy every second of it.
Who's
going to be his running mate?
If I had to guess, I'd say Kristi Noem or Carrie Lake. It will not be Ron DeSantis. I don't care how many people want Ron on. It ain't going to happen because
wrong timing. Wrong timing.
I hate it. I did not want him to run. I did not. And I said,
no, you spoke that one. You were right spot on about that.
Yep. Yes, he's in second place, but way far back. But the two of them will never.
We've got just a couple of minutes left. So I got to ask you this real important question. Let's say, heaven forbid, something happens to Trump. Who would be the person to take over, in your opinion? Who'd be the best person to take over Trump?
I think DeSantis would be the one that could go in and just do it. And if you don't like it, tough. Would he clean out the deep state? He's not experienced enough to do that. So I don't know.
I think he could make it. He's got to get somebody like Kristi Noem there with him. He's going to have a woman who's going to push him.
Yeah. Ramaswamy, no. There's too much about Vivek. Vivek Ramaswamy, he is not who you think he is. No.
Who's he talking about when he says God?
Yeah, right. And not only that, he went to school on the Soros scholarship.
I'm done with him. He's too smiley. He's too picture.
He's very, very smart. Very, very smart. I just don't know. There's nobody on that stage that I would put up there right now except DeSantis, and he would not be able to get done what Donald Trump would.
You got to get Carrie Lake or somebody like that, Kristi Noem or something. I would send him all kinds of messages. He'd probably never see them, but I would send him all these messages. Please get one of those two women. You need help. Right. And I'm not saying it to be obnoxious. I'm not saying it to be smart. He needs one of those two women helping him if that happens. But heaven forbid that happens. Okay.
Well, you know, he has a type of Ron DeSantis has the type of personality that he would just do it. But he's just not. He don't throw the slings and arrows.
He's not the man yet. Okay, no. Less than a minute left. How can folks find out more information about our candidates?
You can go to Ballotpedia, Legiscan, you know, any of those, but it won't be out until the deadline is passed, which is in October. So, you know, you have to wait or go to these meetings, go to your Republican meetings, because I'm going to tell you, they will be there and you will get to meet them.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for being on the show. I wish we had more time. It's always
anytime.
And thank you. You just keep going at it. Okay, girl.
And I'm not stopping it.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much for watching The Edge. My name is Donna, and I am your host. You can find us Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. And when we're not taken down from social media, you can find us that way as well. But again, thank you so much for watching.